God really uses you, love. I'm so glad you know our name. Thank you, Father. Thank you. Thank you, God. Your great name. I'm so glad you know our name. There's just certain things that other people don't understand because they don't know what you've been through. They don't know what walk that you are going through. They don't know the storms that you're going through. So they don't understand when you praise him, when you are broken and your spirit is broken by songs of this nature. You just got to wave your hand and say, thank you. You just got to wave your hand and say, thank you, God. You just got to wave your hand and say, thank you, God. I'm so glad you know our name. Thank you, Father. God is really, really changing the atmosphere and doing some special things here at Berea, and I'm so glad to be a part of this. Amen. Thank you, God. Thank you. Thank you. I'm asking that you join me this morning as we talk about that great name. Amen. I'm asking that everyone stand with me as we discuss our text, our scriptures this morning. Our scriptures this morning are coming from Exodus chapter 20, verse 7. I took the time to put up several different translations of this text, hoping that someone would understand one of the translations over the other and it resonate within you. Amen? Amen. The text will also be on the screen. Exodus chapter 20, verse 7. We're going to be reading all together. Amen? From the New King James Version, it reads, "You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain." The next translation is from the King James Version. "Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain." Our next translation is from the Good News Translation. "Do not use my name for evil purposes, for I, the Lord your God, will punish anyone who misuses my name." The next translation is from the NIV or the New International Version. "You shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God, for the Lord will not hold anyone guiltless who misuses his name." Our other correlating texts are coming from Acts chapter 4, verses 12, from the New King James Version. The text will be on the screen. Altogether, "Nor is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved." And our last text this morning is coming from John chapter 14, verse 6. Jesus said to him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." All heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Pray with me, family. Dear kind and gracious Heavenly Father, the time has come once again for your children to exalt your heavenly name. Father God, I come to you humbly as a man of this earth and as a vessel of your divine spirit. Use me, O Lord. I surrender all to thee. In your name we do pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. We're hoping that you've been blessed by the sounds of worship here this morning. Amen. It's been a high time in the Lord. Put your hands together one more time for our youth here at Berea. God is doing some magnificent things. Today is our Youth Day celebration. As you can see, our youth have bonded together in our denim this morning to show our unity together. This morning, I'd like to briefly touch on that heavenly name. Is that okay with you? Amen. I like to speak with confidence on that wonderful, precious name. Is that okay? There is a force so vast in its power that it triumphs over any problems, any trial, and any situation. Demons flee from it. Disease cannot remain in the face of it. Lack and fear dissipate before it, and every darkness is instantly shattered by it. Even death itself cannot contend with it. What is it? I'm so glad you asked. The name above all names. Turn to your neighbor this morning and say, the great name of Jesus. What's in a name? Do the titles and names of Jesus have any significance? In the days when the Bible was being written, the Israelites often chose names for their babies based on the child's character or appearance, like Esau, which translates to hairy, or Korah, which translates to bald. Some babies were named because of an incident at their birth, or their names were based on some hope or prayer of the parent, as in Zechariah's name, which means God has remembered. Sometimes babies receive the name of an everyday object, like Tamar, which means a palm tree, or Tabitha, which means a gazelle. Parents often name their children by the time of the day they were born. For example, Shaharim, which means dawn, or Hodesh, which means the new moon. The condition of the mother also frequently inspired a name, as in Leah, which means exhausted, or Malai, which means sick. Jesus was named prophetically. Matthew 1, verses 20 through 23 says, but after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. Amen. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from all their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord has said through the prophet. The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God is with us. Amen. Why are there so many different names of Jesus? The names serve as a description of who Jesus is and how he works in the lives of individuals. Some scholars have located over 700 titles and different names for Jesus in the Bible. I invite you to take a look at a few here with me this morning. Amen. The first is God. Jesus is called God in several passages in the Bible, along with his sinless life, miracles, and resurrection from the dead. His claims to be God stand firm. Lord. In the New Testament, this term is used as a salutation to honor a man of distinction. The disciples used this term to salute Jesus as their teacher and master. Word. This title was used by the Apostle John to describe the mission of Jesus. The title states Jesus is Godhead and eternal and absolute deity. Messiah, the long-awaited anointed one who would deliver Israel. Jesus came to deliver mankind from sin and death. Alpha and Omega. These two characters were the first and last letters of the Greek alphabet. This descriptive title expresses the eternal nature of God, the beginning and the end. Savior. Jesus is the person who rescues mankind from an eternity in hell. Redeemer. One who frees or delivers another from difficulty, danger, or bondage, usually by the payment of a ransom price. In the New Testament, Jesus is viewed as the ultimate redeemer who gave his life as a ransom. Light of the world. Jesus is the person who brings true knowledge of God. Those who reject this light bring judgment upon themselves. Lamb of God. This title refers to the Old Testament sacrificial system where God accepted the blood of animals as atonement for sin. Jesus' blood made atonement for sin. Ruler of creation. Christ existed before the creation of the world, and he is sovereign over it. Mediator. Because Jesus is fully God, he can represent God to man. Because he is fully man, Jesus can represent man to God. Reconciliation is now possible. Bread of life. Jesus is the one and only supplier of the spiritual nourishment, the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus is the only way to heaven, the only source of the truth, and the foundation of all life. The power and the authority of the name of Jesus rightfully belongs to you as a born-again Christian. And he expects us to use it, just not in vain. Hence our scripture today from Exodus chapter 27. You shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God, for the Lord will not hold anyone guiltless who misuses his name. Before Jesus ascended to be seated at the right hand of the Father, he said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. He has the authority. There is far more power wrapped up in this one name than you may even realize. The great name of Jesus, Christ our King, our Lord and Savior. You can use the great name of Jesus when you're dealing with four specific things that I'm going to touch on today. The first is you can use the name of Jesus to put sickness to flight. For the Bible says in Mark 16, verses 17 and 18, in my name, they will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. Notice this verse doesn't say the sick might recover. It says they will recover. No matter how minor or severe, sickness and disease don't belong in your body. You are healed. But you have to take your health by force and take it by faith. Every sickness and disease has a name. The flu is a name. Cancer is a name. Heart disease is a name. Every name must bow to the name of Jesus. When you use the name of Jesus, Satan backs off. He has no choice. The only thing he can do is to try to deceive you into believing something other than what the word says. So when you start believing for your healing or divine health, don't allow him to get a foothold. The Bible tells us to give him no place. Instead, learn to be bold. When we use the name of Jesus to lay hands on the sick, we're ministering the love of Jesus to them. It's the love of Jesus within that will cause you to put your own feelings aside, your reservations about laying hands on people in public or other situations, and it will give you the opportunity for the love of God to operate. Turn to your neighbor and say, the great name of Jesus. That same name, when called, will put sickness to flight. Another way you can use Jesus' name, not in vain, is you can use his name to rebuke lack. Therefore, God elevated him to the place of highest honor and gave him the name above all other names, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth. Just like sickness has a name, lack is a name, and it covers more than just your money. Any area where you are in lack, peace in your family, joy in your spirit, finances, every name in that category has to bow to the name of Jesus. The blessing is your lot, and that's what you are to expect. But how do you contend for it? By using the name of Jesus when the devil comes to steal from you. Just as you wouldn't tolerate someone barging into your home and taking your belongings, you can't tolerate the devil and his attempts to take what is rightfully yours in the name of Jesus. So when lack tries to come into your family, rebuke it. Say, lack, I rebuke you in the name of Jesus. You're not coming into my family. You can't come into my bank account. You can't come into my classroom causing confusion and chaos. You can't invade my friendships and my marriage and sever bonds and trust. Lack, I rebuke you in the name of Jesus. Jesus came that I may have life and have it more abundantly. I take my blessing now in the name of Jesus. I don't know about you, but I take my blessing now. Turn to your neighbor and say, the great name of Jesus. That same name can be used to call out demons and send them packing and running for the nearest exit. The Bible says in Mark 16, Verse 17 and 18, in my name shall they cast out devils. Have you ever noticed the devil doesn't play fair? Well, God never told you to give the devil a fair shot either. He said, use the name of Jesus on him. He's already defeated. You're just keeping him where he belongs. Now, here's how he comes at you. He sends demons and evil spirits, but you have the authority over every one of them. If the spirit of strife, if the spirit of envy, if the spirit of suicide, if the spirit of murder, if the spirit of drugs, if the spirit of alcoholism, if the spirit of adultery or any other wrong spirit tries to enter your house and family, deal with it immediately. Speak to it. Say, I command you in Jesus' name to take your hands off my children. I command you in Jesus' name to take your hands off my wife. I command you in Jesus' name to take your hands off my husband. You have to speak to those demons. I forbid you to operate in their lives anymore. I take by force what belongs to me, and that includes my children and my family. Demon, get out of my house and get out of my family in Jesus' name. When you have faith in the name, there is no situation too great for that name. But you have to take what belongs to you by force. You have to force Satan with the word of God and the name of Jesus. You have to force him to give up the ground in your life. He's a thief. He's a killer. And he's an outlaw. He'll steal anything you let him have. So be bold with the name of Jesus. Don't let him steal your kids. Don't let him steal your money. Don't let him steal your ministry. Don't let him steal your church. Be forcible in the spirit and force him out. If you even smell the devil from a distance roaming and trying to break into any area of your life, don't wait for it to escalate. Get him out. And do it with the name above all names. Turn to your neighbor this morning and say, the great name of Jesus. And lastly, you can use the name of Jesus for supernatural protection. The name of the Lord is a strong fortress. The godly run to him and are safe. Found in Proverbs 18:10. Oh, how the devil doesn't want you to know this one. His entire profession is to steal, kill, and to destroy. So when you start using the name of Jesus to protect you, your family, and your property, he'll go out of business in your neck of the woods. Saturating Satan's plans with the great name of Jesus will stop him from oppressing you and your family and will keep you safe. The great name of Jesus is your supernatural protection, your emergency number, and your rescue vehicle, all wrapped up in one. It responds immediately, it acts perfectly, and it gets the job done without delay or hiccup. It should always be your first line of defense and will help you when there seems to be no way out. Turn to your neighbor and say, the great name of Jesus. It is so wonderful to be able to call on the great name of Jesus. I mean, can you imagine calling on God in your most desperate times and the call went to voicemail? Now, we've all learned to live with voicemail as a necessary part of modern life, but have you ever wondered what it would be like if God decided to install voicemail? Some of you may have heard this before, but imagine praying and you're hearing, thank you for calling my father's house. Please select one of the following options. Press 1 for requests. Press 2 for Thanksgiving. Press 3 for complaints. Press 4 for all other inquiries. I mean, what if God used those familiar excuses that you're used to hearing? I'm sorry, all of our angels are busy helping other saints right now. However, your prayer is important to us and will be answered in the order it was received. So please, stay on the line. I mean, can you imagine getting these responses as you call on God in prayer? If you would like to speak to God, press 1. If you would like to speak to Jesus, press 2. If you would like to speak to the Holy Spirit, press 3. If you'd like to hear King David sing a psalm while you're holding, press 4. I mean, can you fathom what life would be like? To find out if a loved one is going to heaven, press 5, enter his or her social security number, and then press the pound key. If you get a negative response, try area code 666. I mean, how would life be like with our prayers going to a voicemail? For reservations at my father's house, please enter J-O-H-N followed by 316. And lastly, for answers to nagging questions about dinosaurs, the age of Earth, and where Noah's Ark is, please wait until you arrive here. And then finally getting you through to an angel assistant, and they finally say to you, our records show that you've already prayed once today. Please hang up and try again tomorrow so that others may have a chance to get through. Or they send you to another tunnel in the voicemail, and it says, this office is closed for the weekend to observe a religious holiday. Or you get forwarded to another voicemail that says, please pray again next week on Monday after 9:30 a.m. when we open. Life would be tough. And lastly, you would probably get forwarded at all costs. If you need an emergency assistant when the office of heaven is closed, please contact your local pastor. Life would be terrible if we could not call on the name of Jesus freely, amen? I don't know about you, but I'm so glad that the lines are always open between me and Jesus. I'm so glad that I can simply call on the great name of Jesus for all my worries and my needs. I'm so glad that I can freely communicate with my Jesus. Oh, bless his name. The Bible says in Isaiah chapter 41, verse 10, fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Fear not that when you call on the great name of Jesus, you're not going to be sent to the voicemail. Fear not that when you call on the great name of Jesus, you're not going to be placed on hold. Fear not that when you call on the great name of Jesus, you're not going to be forwarded to one of his angel assistants. Fear not that when you call on the great name of Jesus, you're not going to be told that heaven is closed for the day. Fear not that when you call on the great name of Jesus, you're not going to be left wondering when Jesus is going to call you back. Be not dismayed, for he is our God. He will strengthen us. Yes, he will help us. He will uphold us with his righteous right hand. Is there anybody here this morning who can get up on their feet and put their hands together for the great and powerful name of Jesus? The word declares that he will never leave you nor forsake you. The Lord will fight for you. You only need to be still. He gives power to the weak, and to those who know, might he could increase their strength. When you pass through the waters, he will be with you. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow you. And when you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned, nor shall the flame scorch you. No weapon formed against you shall prosper. And every tongue which rises against you in judgment shall condemn you. The Bible says that therefore I tell you, whatever I ask for you in prayer, believe that you have received it and it will be yours. And my God will meet all of your needs according to the riches of the glory in Christ Jesus. If my people who are called to my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and forgive their sin and heal their land. And the Lord, he is the one who goes before you. He will be with you. He will not leave you. He will not forsake you. Do not fear. Do not be dismayed. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. The great name of Jesus. If you declare with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believed in him should not prosper but have everlasting life. So if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. Turn to your neighbor this morning and say the great name of Jesus. Oh, bless his holy name. My God, the cross was God's chosen way of salvation and restoration plan from the beginning of the world. Different people have a difficulty understanding its meaning. According to Paul, the cross was a stumbling block to the Jews. They believed in their own works as descendants of Abraham rather than in God. They believed righteousness could be earned by obeying the law, yet no man apart from Christ was capable of keeping the law. The cross was foolishness to the Gentiles who, according to their wisdom, found it ridiculous to even think that a God who is supposed to be immortal could die. The cross, however, is the power of God to believers. It is the power of God because all that we receive, the grace of God, depends on Christ and not on us. What the law demanded from us, Christ gives to us as a gift. Paul, the author of most of the New Testament, initially could not understand the importance of the cross. According to his understanding of the scriptures, to be hung on a tree, that is on a cross, meant to be under the curse of God. How could someone under the curse of God be the Messiah? But Paul's life was radically changed when he understood that Jesus Christ became a curse because of us. Jesus Christ became a curse because he was made sin with our sins, that we might be made righteous with his righteousness. Oh, bless his name, the great name of Jesus. Jesus Christ took our place and endured all the evil consequences due by divine justice to our sins so that we could take his place and become members of the family of God. The entire message of the gospel revolves around one historical event, the sacrificial death of Jesus Christ on the cross. Writing about this, the writer of Hebrews declares that by one offering, he has perfected forever those who are being sanctified. Perfected and forever speak of a sacrifice that meets every need of the entire human race, and its effect extended throughout time and into eternity. A single sovereign act of God brought together all the guilt and the suffering of humanity and offer one all-sufficient solution, the cross. On the cross, Christ took all the evil we deserve and gave us all the good we did not. Christ's sacrifice made us to be the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus and qualifies us to become children of God. John confirms this when he says, as he is also, are we in this world. Let us allow Christ to live in us to praise and glory the Almighty God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. In closing, Benjamin Franklin has often been quoted as saying, in this world, nothing is certain but taxes and death. Many have figured out ways to get out of past paying taxes, legal or otherwise, but no one yet has been able to avoid the certainty of death. Sooner or later, you're going to experience the pain that comes along with death. You will assuredly lose loved ones by swift, tragic loss, the slow progression of a disease, or just the process of aging. You will also face your own death in one of those possible ways. But if you are born again, you need not fear death. If you are born again Christian, you need not fear death. For Christ took the sting of it on himself when he died on the cross for your sins. Jesus said, do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. And if it were not so, I would have told you. I am going there to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. You know the way to the place where I'm going. I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. The Bible teaches six powerful truths about heaven. Number one is heaven is a real place. Number two, heaven is a permanent place. Number three, heaven is a personal place. Number four, heaven is a holy place. Number five, heaven is for those who are born again. And number six, heaven is a place of reunion. When tragedy comes to the doorstep of any of us, it is best to trust in God and trust also in Christ. Think on that place where those who, out of love for the Lord, have lived an obedient life unto Christ and accepted him as their Lord and Savior, who will one day have uninterrupted everlasting fellowship with the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit when Jesus comes again. Turn to your neighbor one last time this morning and tell them, oh, bless that name, the great name of Jesus. Amen. At this time, if you need a special prayer over your life, I'm asking that our entire congregation stand. All heads are bowed and eyes are closed. God has been good to us. Oh, bless his name. My appeal this morning is very simple. If you are needing special prayer over your life so that you can use God's name correctly to improve your life and you can accept the things that you have no control over and put those things in Jesus' hand, I'm asking that you come now to receive this prayer. Just a prayer. I'm asking that you come now, move out of your seats at this very moment. Come forward now to receive this prayer. No one's watching. All heads are bowed and eyes are closed. What's between you and the Lord is between you and God. Come now so that we can pray over you. My elders up here and myself would like to pray over your life that the great name of Jesus will fulfill certain things that are moving in your life that you need power over. That storm that you're going through, you can be delivered from it if you just put your faith in God. Come now. Come now for that special prayer that you're looking for, that special word of anointment that you've been waiting to hear, something that's on the back of your mind that you want to remove, a sin that you may have committed that you feel wrong for. God wants to move in your life, children of God. He wants us all to be remade and reborn Christians. That great name of God wants to move in your life. My second appeal this morning is that the doors of the church are open. And if you feel it on your heart, you feel it on your mind, and you want to push from the Lord, allow that to move you out of your seat and come forward now to give your life to Jesus Christ. If you want to be baptized and you want to join the church of God, come now. Come now. That woman, that man, that boy, that girl, come now. Come forward now if you want to lay your life on the line for Jesus. You heard something today that's going to resonate with you for the rest of your life. Act on that thing today. Don't let it pass you by. Allow the Lord to move you. Allow the Holy Spirit to order your steps. Allow him to be a lamp unto your feet. Come forward now and accept. Accept God as your one true Savior and King. That great name, Jesus. God, thank you. You have been so good to us. We love you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. God, please be with Berea. Please be with its members. Please be in its members' homes, amongst their family, amongst their friends and their loved ones. Let the church of Berea spread like wildfire through this community. Bring us an increase, God, so that we can continue to go out and save more souls for you. As your great commission states, we want to go, therefore, and teach all nations. And we want to bring people closer to you, God. God, thank you. Thank you for sending your son to die on that cross for us and delivering us sin-filled men and allowing us to have an opportunity to accept you as our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. For this, we are forever grateful. We'll be careful to give you all the honor, the praise, and the glory. In Jesus' name this morning, we pray. Amen.